All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the Crime Report. It's being sponsored by Crime Stoppers Suffolk, 1-800-220-TIPS, 220-8477. That's for all calls. Are kept confidential. A monetary reward of up to $5,000 issued for info that will lead to an arrest. Joe Jacqueline, retired NYPD sergeant, former commanding officer of the Bronx Cold Case Squad. He's a current adjunct professor at John Jay College and author of the bestseller, The Criminal Investigative Function, A Guide to Investigators, edition number 3, by the way. And in his day, a highly, highly decorated member of the NYPD, including the most notable Department Medal of Valor, the aforementioned Joseph Jacqueline. Sarge, how are you? Good morning, my friend.
Good morning, Jay. How are you?
All is good. All is good. Well, the ever-changing story continues down in, they say Florida, if he's still there. A federal arrest warrant, Joe, issued yesterday for Brian Laundrie. He's still on the run. Not for the for his taking part in the murder of Gabby Petito, but for a bank card, right? The unauthorized use of a debit card and bank accounts. So the hunt is on, and here we go. The warrant issued officially yesterday for Laundrie, Joe.
Yes, you got a federal warrant now for, like you said, the access device. Mainly it's Capital One. He has a Capital One credit card and a debit card with a PIN number used. So I'm sure by now they've gotten the surveillance video of that event that took place wherever he used the card, whether it's at an ATM or inside of a bank, probably at the ATM. And we know that they all have video cameras, so they know it was him. And I'm assuming it's Gabby's card. That's why they can come up with the arrest warrant for that. And it's just going to be some leverage that they're going to hold him against. Because remember, he has a lawyer, so they're not going to be able to talk to him. Right now, the evidence is all circumstantial. Everything points to Brian, but unfortunately, that doesn't get you the probable cause you need to make the arrest as far as the prosecutors are concerned. So now they have something that they can hold him on until they have to. Unfortunately, they got to find him because they think this was a big mistake not having a set of eyes or pairs of eyes on him while he was at the house, because this becomes now a problem. Like you can see, this could go on for weeks, months, he could go, who knows if we even find him. So it's important that going forward, that you, when you're dealing with these cases, whatever, for local law enforcement, you gotta have eyes on this guy, and make sure that he doesn't slip through your fingers. So they're doing the surveillance, right? They followed the family, the parents. They had to go to Orlando for something, so they went to Orlando, they followed them there. So, I mean, they got their ducks in a row now, but it's kind of like locking them at the barn door after the horse escaped.
Family trip to Disney World, right? They took the camper. You all seen the white camper in that driveway. And off go the filthy laundries. So, in essence, you get now a report a day now, right? Where you have a woman coming forward, a second one, Joe. Who claims she picked up Laundrie, in and around the parks of Wyoming, became a little agitated and everything. It's hard to put two into it. You can't play armchair quarterback now, but you can see you're kind of putting a couple of smaller pieces right to this puzzle as far as this guy. Right after the first woman. Remember the first one? The couple, I think it was. The couple picked him up there for hitchhiking. He became agitated, wanted out. She saw that, a little distress going on there with him. So you kind of piecemealing here a couple of little things, Joe, right?
Yeah, no, you are. And also the fact that people are still picking up hitchhikers, right? I mean, that's the kind of thing that you still scratch your head about, because this thing could have ended badly for any of these people. He's on the run at that point. He just probably did something heinous, and now you have this guy in your backseat of your car. That's a whole other story and a whole other head scratcher. But the thing that we got to find here is Brian Laundrie, and find him, and figure out what's going to happen. So now we haven't heard yet about the cause of death. We know the manner of death came out homicide. We haven't heard cause of death, and we haven't heard of any physical evidence or or biological evidence or anything that was found in and around the area where the body was found. So this, that becomes another important thing, because as they're trying to piece this thing together and build probable cause in order to make the arrest, I mean, we know circumstantial evidence can help get a conviction, but they need some sort of direct evidence here, too, to figure out exactly what transpired that day.
You have more experience than anyone on this, I know. Why so long to determining how Gabby was murdered? And I have to get too graphic here. Is it based on the fact, you know, who knows how long she was laying there? You got all kinds of wildlife. My goodness, it's hard to even think about this stuff. But, you know, whether strangulation or blunt force trauma, I mean, I would think it's not an easy task in this particular case, correct? To try and figure out exactly how she was murdered, correct?
Well, exactly, yes. You know, the body was in some form of decomposition at that point. You can go into decomposition within the first 7 days. It depends on the weather, too. If it's really hot out, even if it's for a few hours, it can rapidly decompose. So, yes, it becomes more difficult to identify the cause of death. A lot of things can happen, like you said, insects, animals, you name it. When the body's outdoors, it really presents some other issues for investigators. But medical examiners, pathologists, are highly trained individuals, and they are really good at their job, and they might be holding back what the cause of death was. You know, usually in these cases, we have intimate partner violence. Like you said, it's either the blunt force trauma or strangulation are usually the cause of death. So it's just another important factor. It doesn't change anything because they did say that the manner of death was homicide. So, you know, you're dealing with a case where somebody killed somebody. So it's just something that you're going through the motions at this point. But the other issue is that by releasing certain other facts, it could also present a problem for investigators, because you might have people come out of the woodwork and say, yeah, now I did this and this is what I did. So there are things that only the killer knows what they happened. So, like, was there did they use a belt or shoelaces or something like that? So these are all the things that come into play when you're trying to do an investigation like this.
All right, Joe, a couple of things. You said a key thing prior, and that, well, obviously with the warrant now out for him over the bank call. I mean, at least, because a lot of people wonder, well, why can't you charge the parents? Well, what do you have to charge the parents with? You got nothing, really. You have nothing yet. But at least with the unauthorized use of a bank card of $1,000 or more, whatever he withdrew, at least that's something to kind of hold them, right? I mean, otherwise, right, you can't hold them. Because the one thing I would think you don't want to do is make a false arrest here, and then everything goes kaboom as far as the legality of it all. Once you have this guy, if he's alive, that's a whole nother story. But when you capture him, you want to at least be able to cement him with something, correct? That's why. Is that right?
Well, sure. I mean, if you're doing all this search for him and you don't have anything to charge him with, it becomes kind of fruitless at this point. So you find him, now what? I understand the public is saying, you know, pointing all fingers and saying, hey, listen, this is the guy that did it. You know, okay, that's great. But, speculation and rumor and everything like that doesn't help you build probable cause. Right? You have to have evidence. You have to be able to prove your case. So now that they have leverage on him, when they do find him, they will put him in jail. And now they'll know where he is while they continue to conduct their investigation into the case, which buys them more time. And, you know, get more reports back from the medical examiner's office and, searching the crime scene, waiting for maybe DNA results, and who knows. So the issue that comes down to is that you have to be patient and you have to be able to look at this from a different perspective, and that's the legal perspective, because that's the only thing that matters at this point. Like you said, Jay, you don't want to make a big mistake and then lose the case because you're being pressured by the public and the media and everybody else to just do something. It just, you know, law enforcement doesn't work like that.
Yep. And, you know, with all your experience, Joe, your best guesstimate at this point in time, and do you think you think Laundrie is in and around that Colton Reserve or somehow? Listen, from all reports, this guy's an experienced guy in the woods. You know, he might have been certainly, you know, in play as far as having the necessities. He had plenty of time to gather and put stuff in that that backpack of his. You know, from all reports from people who knew Gabby and, you know, heard of him, you know, he could, you know, live in the wilderness with plenty of sustenance. But in your estimation, you think this guy is still in Florida, or do you think he might be? Listen, for all we know, he could be at the Texas border.
No, I think if he's still alive, he's still around in and around that area. The thing that I would be, you know, focusing in on, because remember, you might have many vacation homes down there, right? Because not everybody in Florida lives there full time. There a lot of what we refer to as snowbirds. So there could be a lot of houses that are unoccupied for great lengths of time. And, you know, since he lives in that area, knows that area well, he might know that there's a lot of cabins or trailers or what have you. So that's something where I would be focusing in on also, too, because even though he's a woodsman and stuff like that, he still needs to find shelter. You got to worry about alligators, and you got to worry about a lot of other things that you don't, mosquitoes and all kinds of bugs, too, down there. So that's where my investigation would be focused, too. I know we're using some technology like they use the infrared at night and the drones. I mean, we're seeing drones now graduating into the law enforcement toolbox where they're using it to cover, you know, wide areas. But you got to remember, it's Florida, so everything is green. There's no, it's not like, you know, New York in the wintertime where everything is bare, no leaves. You know, so it becomes a difficult task there, and they're going to rely on canines and the like in order to try to track him. But my guesstimate is he's still not very far from where he was.
So some people think elsewhere, you know, that, listen, we'll see. The one thing I do know, I don't want to be around there at night from what I hear. I don't like pythons and rattlesnakes. Good luck with that. Plenty of brush, you know, from what I understand, it's a mess there, obviously, with the alligators and whatnot. That's a heck of a terrain to kind of prance around in at night when a lot of those predators, you know, like to kind of seek and whatnot, wild boar and everything else there. My goodness. So hopefully... Yeah, it's not good. It's not, but, you know, listen, hopefully we'll hear something today. Hopefully, you know, every day we kind of look for something, but let's see what happens. Let's go to a couple other things. Joe Jackal on the crime report. Joe, remember the case regarding Lawrence Grammer? He was convicted on a second degree murder charge, the shooting of Bashir Ward. From Valley Street. He was right in the garage of a Glenhead body shop. He got 25 years to life in prison. You and I covered this case.
Yes, no, I mean, yeah, I mean, kind of like one of those you forgot about it, right? This was in Baldwin, I believe it was. This is the Baldwin case.
You know, a guy who,
he's 72
you know,
years old,
he
yeah.
grabbed his gun, believed Ward was picking up a tool as a weapon after threatening him, used a racial slur. You know, the grammar guy said he didn't intend to open fire with his pistol, but said, I think he said, like, the gun just went off after racking a bullet in the chamber to shoot. And listen, they weren't buying it, and he gets 25 years to life now behind bars, Joe.
Right, yeah. I think he was 72 years old at the time when the shooting happened, too. So, yeah, I mean, like I said, certain actions, certain things, certain statements that you make. So, you know, racking the slide back, making sure that there's a bullet in there, and then firing it kind of, you know, defeats his whole argument that he didn't know the gun was loaded at that point. So, if that's what transpired that whole thing, then I guess that's what, you know, sunk his whole story. So, yeah, this case was going back for a while now.
Question. And one more for you, Joe. And this, you know, listen, we've covered these types of cases, but you have a guy out of Copeg, trafficked a lot of cocaine, street value of more than $300,000. He got his sentence to 10 years behind bars. This is a guy who pled guilty to second-degree criminal possession of controlled substance, conspiracy. Also has to serve 5 years post-release supervision. It's good to see It's good to see a district attorney doing a job, and I say that a little bit because of what's going on in Suffolk County. Because when you have dealers that are released, and remember the 9 overdoses and 6 deaths, Joe, last month in Suffolk County, that could have been prevented. Could have been prevented there. Because you had a guy who already had 2 felonies in his column. One more, guess what? That's in prison for life, okay, based on the circumstances. But it's good to see the acting DA in Nassau, Joyce Smith, do her job with this 47-year-old Alan Evans. This is a guy who trafficked a lot of drugs. Street value through the roof, 10 years behind bars, Joe.
No, it's a good thing. You got to remember, Madeline Singers did a great job. And we're before this, and was you know, maybe this individual, I don't know her very well, but, you know, the verdict isn't out yet. But, I mean, yes, this is, our prosecutors have to prosecute. I mean, this is something that I kind of scratch my head. It's happening all over. We're electing, you know, defense attorneys and then parade around as district attorneys. So, you know, yeah, this is your job. It's the point where, you know, you're kind of saying, well, why isn't it happening everywhere else? So the verdict isn't out yet. We'll see what happens. But, yes, we got to put these drug dealers away. And you know what? We can't forget about the opioid crisis. Still alive and well, unfortunately, and not much talk about it.
It is what it is. These are real cases. When you have somebody within the grasp, you've got to finish the job. And I'm telling you right now, a lot of stuff, and you read about it, can be prevented, but you got to do your job, man. Do your job as a DA. Joyce Smith did a job. Got this guy 10 years now. 10 years. And you look at everything. It's dire even more so now. Why? Because of what's happening down at that border. Okay? And the amount, Joe, of fentanyl coming through. And we know how deadly it is. And it's laced with everything now. It's laced with cocaine. You know, back in the day, you and I, you only speak about heroin, right? Now it's everywhere. It's everywhere. And that's why you got to be careful. And that's why you got to nab these guys when you can. When you got the goods on them, you've got to finish the job. And I can't stress that point more. Because we've seen some miscues here on the island of individuals who have slipped through the cracks. Can't have that anymore. So we'll see how that goes down the road. Sir, always great having you, as you know. We'll keep an eye on this laundry deal today. And hopefully there is a big break in this case. I mean, they got everybody looking now for this guy. So let's see what happened. You got a warrant now, officially. You got a warrant. That is for his arrest. Let's see how that turns out. We'll talk again soon. I'll call you in a couple of days, and you have a wonderful weekend.
You too, Jake.